welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I'm GopherDigest.com publisher Ryan Burns. We welcome you back here to our fall camp, you know, recap series here so far.
All right, before we get into fall camp, you know, big news this evening with an outstate Minnesota kid committing to the Gophers. Tell us a little bit about this, the Marshall native.
Yeah, so I got a text sign about 6:30 from Drew Heimeleski. That's how you pronounce his name for all the fans looking at his name. It's him, I-L-ski. So Drew Heimeleski. The Gophers and Drew were finally able to connect, and, you know, Minnesota got one of their top targets in or out of state to commit tonight, which is very good news. So here's the deal with Drew Heimeleski. He's from Marshall, Minnesota, and he is an extremely good three-sport athlete. He's extremely good at baseball, and he's extremely good at football. Two things that he's going to be playing here at Minnesota. So what does that remind Gopher fans of? When was the last time an out-of-town here, in-state kid who was very good at baseball and football?
That'd be Eric Decker, I think.
Oh, yeah, that guy. So I've heard that, I mean, that thrown around from the instant that the Gopher staff has seen him. They saw him. He came to a private workout here in late June. Him and Ramad Bowman both ended up with offers, obviously with Heimeleski, you know, committing to Minnesota and Bowman going to Northwestern. But from what I heard about that workout, you know, Drew had never run a 40-yard dash before. So Minnesota's like, hey, why don't you go run a 40 for us quick? So he lines up in the wide receiver stance. Not like a guy's about to run a 40, you know, hand on the ground, arm up. He lines up as a wide receiver. So after about 20, 30 seconds of coaching on how to run a 40, he rips off a 4.48. Okay, first guy, you know, first time you're ever running a 40 and you run a 4, you know, look. A 4.4 at Minnesota, who is very slow on their hand times. I mean, the kid just was outstanding that day from what I've been told. And he was a guy that the Gopher staff really wanted from then on. The issue was, that, you know, Heimeleski is a very serious candidate to be drafted, you know, within the first, you know, 2010, you know, rounds of the Major League Baseball draft. Coming up here next year. He's the two-time, you know, player of the year down there in the southwest corner of the state. He's, you know, he's very versatile. He's very athletic. But, and so, you know, the Gopher staff was hesitant to offer because they're like, well, you know, if you want to play football at a college level, we would love to have you. And so Heimeleski and his father were up here this past weekend. They were taking in a practice, and then they also met with the baseball coaches. And both agreed, you know, hey, if you want to play baseball here, we're cool with it. If you want to play football here, we're cool with it. Both teams want him, and both teams got him.
Cool.
So the interesting thing is I'm curious to see what happens with J.D. Spielman this weekend. I've got this question numerous times on the board, numerous times on Twitter. And here's the simple answer for you. I don't know. I mean, does Minnesota take four wide receiver commits when they're only losing KJ May?
Right.
I understand that Howard has the flexibility to be a corner. I understand that Snelson's already committed a couple places. I understand that, you know, maybe Heimeleski only plays baseball. So, I mean, you could go from zero to three, but I don't see it happening.
Right.
But I don't know, man. It's if I had to guess, I would say Nebraska is the choice for Spielman.
Sure.
At this point, I'm probably 60-40 now, especially with this commitment news, but we'll see what happens this weekend, I guess, on Saturday.
Right. And you know, Spielman does have the sport flexibility as well with lacrosse, right? He's already committed to Ohio State to play lacrosse. So,
yes.
I mean, we talked about this before. It seems like football is the option that he'll go with ultimately, but he does have that option as well. He's got that sport flexibility too.
Yeah, and if JD were to come to Minnesota, for those fans wondering, well, why aren't you mentioning him as potentially, you know, a defensive back? There ain't no way Jay Sauvelle taking a 5'7" corner.
Yeah,
I will put that on, you know, my dog's grave here. You know, because fortunately, my mother and father are still alive. You know, God rest their souls. but there ain't no way Jay Sobel takes a 5'7.5" corner. It's
sure.
just not happening.
Yeah,
so,
it's not. It's not their mold.
No, obviously, you know, Spielman's going to be a returner type, you know, slash gadget guy as a receiver at the next level. So it's Nebraska or Minnesota. I'm leaning towards Nebraska right now just because of all the different things I've heard here in the last 24 hours. But I wouldn't be shocked at all to see him pick Minnesota. And then seriously, Minnesota has got to be done if they have four. But
yeah,
I seriously think JD's the only one left who could commit right now
sure.
at receiver. But we'll see. We'll see what happens on Saturday when JD announces. So expect either Nebraska or Minnesota.
Yeah, okay. Let's transition now. Let's talk defense. We talked a little offense, you know, in the previous episode. So, you know, we're 5 days through camp now. We actually put some pads on. We maybe actually did some actual football hitting. There might have been some contact today. So let's start talking specifically with the defensive line. Let's start at defensive end. And what have you been seeing, and what do you kind of expect going into the year?
Yeah, the unfortunate part about the defensive line right now is, my God, are they beaten up. I think I counted five different defensive linemen who couldn't finish the day today. You know, Alex Keith's out with an undisclosed injury. Robert Nondelet's out with a non-disclosed injury. Gary Moore's out. Julian Kafo is out today. And Mose Hall, the freshman. That's five different guys that are out with injury.
Yeah, not ideal.
And it was I felt awful for the defensive line guys today because I think there are only seven or eight healthy bodies, including walk-ons, and they were exhausted by the end of the day. So they need they need guys like Alex Keith to get healthy. But your starting defensive ends, I would say, it's probably the best pair of defensive ends Minnesota's had under Jay Kill so far. Obviously, you know what you're getting in Theron Cochran. When he had someone else to take the pressure off him, AKA his sophomore year when Rashid Hagman was the focal point of the defensive line, he flourished, and that's why he did so well his sophomore year. And then last year, you didn't see the production as much, and I think that's because teams really, game plan towards Cochran and, double teamed and or used chips off the edge with the H-back or tight end.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that'll be the case this year because of who his counterpart is and how great he's looked so far. And Hank Ekpe, Hank is a guy I've written about a lot over on Gopher Digest. I think he's going to have a huge breakout year for Minnesota. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he passes, the highest sack total since 2008. And I mean, that's only 8.5, 9 sacks, but his first step so far, the first 5 days of camp, has been unblockable.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been going. He's absolutely eviscerated Foster Bush.
Right.
His first step has been too much for Foster at left tackle the last 2 days. Where it's just, I'm just sitting there like I kind of feel bad for the guy because Hank's getting so that first step is so quick around the edge that Foster doesn't have time to react, and so it's something to where I think between Hank and Theron Cochran. I mean, if Hank can deal with his medical issues that he's had the past couple of years where, once it starts to get cold, he gets some serious sinus pain and migraine pain.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't think that's been talked about enough as, he looks absolutely the part. He's done everything he needed to do so far. It's just the fact that he needs to, continue to maintain his health in that area. It's something that he addressed last spring. And it was something that didn't come back in the spring. Obviously, when Minnesota has spring practice here in March and April, it's obviously very cold, still in the 30s and 40s, just like it would be in, October, November. And Hank didn't have any issues then. He adjusted his medication. And I'm very hopeful for him that if that continues in the fall where he does not have any issues, come the latter half of that Big Ten play and he's still, humming out there, I think he can be a force. I mean, obviously, I know that, offensive tackles will start cutting. Minnesota hasn't cut yet so far in camp. Obviously, they're trying to have as many healthy bodies as they can. But, Cochran and Hank Ekpe have looked the part. Galen Elmore is another guy to keep an eye on. He's had a pretty good, true sophomore fall camp so far. He's one of the guys, I think he leads the team in batted down passes, as I think he's batted down a pass in about four straight days. If he knows he can't, you know, get the edge, you know, he's stopping, peeking in the backfield, reading the quarterback's eyes, and if he's about to throw it, he uses all of that 6'6" frame and, you know, extends his arms up in the air and bats it down, which is
sure
obviously what you want. So I feel comfortable with him rotating in as much as Minnesota does. And then Alex Keith, the guy needs to stay healthy. I mean, him and Nando Lay are two guys who are expected to contribute. I mean, obviously fans know that Minnesota rotates a lot on their defensive line. They like to play seven or eight guys because they want to keep bodies fresh for in the third and fourth quarter to, you know, get that pass rush up the field.
Mm-hmm.
So going into the season, I expect a lot of Theron Cochran and Hank Ekpe, and then, you know, Galen Elmore to rotate in, Alex Keith to rotate in, maybe some Robert Nandole.
Mm-hmm.
I think Julian Capo, the redshirt freshman, while, you know, he has, you know, probably the most top-end straight-line speed of these defensive ends, I think he needs another year and learn the speed rush. So I think he's another year away from contributing. And then he's very talkative out there. He likes to get into it with anyone.
Right.
You know, what you'd expect from a chip on his shoulder guy from the East Coast, the body in his midsection compared to when he immediately got here. He's kind of exploded. Cochran and Keith leaving basically just Hank and Galen out here. Hank Ekpe, Darren Cochran, Alex Keith, and Galen come TCU.
Sure. Okay, let's go defensive tackle. We kind of know that's Scott Ekpe then, right? And then and then you've got the guy that was a freshman last year. So you kind of know what you have with those two guys. Richardson's kind of, you know, the stockier, wreaked some havoc last fall. So you kind of know what we have with him. Ekpe, flashy, but maybe more of a role player there. Is that what you kind of expect out of him?
Season.
Sure.
As I think offensive coordinator and offensive line coach, Miami goes, I mean, if you saw him out there today, he looks like $1 million.
Yeah.
I mean, he brought up how, you know, I'm glad they're going against us now, and I'm glad I have an M in my chest because I wouldn't want to go against them. Steven Richardson, he's Minnesota's Aaron Donald. But Aaron Donald was a very successful defensive tackle for Pittsburgh, who ended up going early in the first and was, I believe he was one of the NFL rookies of the year last year. Or he was, you know, Pro Football Focus's best defensive tackle.
Okay.
Steve at 11. I'm not going to give that to Steve, even though the guy's a phenomenal man. But he's just size of my size.
And you're a tall dude. Like, you're a big guy.
I'm 6'4.5", 220 pounds. So if I say his arms are huge, his legs are huge, and the reason he's so successful, you know, offensive linemen trying to get their hands on him. Steve's already so explosive with his first step in combinations. And if you go back and watch tape last year, it seemed like more plays than not. Steve was, and that's why he had six tackles for loss as a true freshman, you know, in the Big Ten. So
right.
Scott Ekpe looks to be really close to 100%. I think he's going to be the full-time starter there. He's more of a Cameron Botticelli type, where he's not necessarily going to be a huge playmaker, but he's going to follow his assignments. You know, he's going to get, you know, control his gap and make sure that the linebackers can, you know, do their job. So behind him, it's kind of wide open. Just because, you know, Robert Nottale is injured. If healthy, he's going to play. And the guy who probably, you know, hasn't got as much recognition as he should is true sophomore Andrew Stelter. Stelter probably played defensive end more than defensive tackle last year as a true freshman.
Sure.
And he probably played around 255. But this year he's bulked up. I believe I heard him say today he's around 280, 283 pounds. So he's put on, you know, 25 pounds of good weight. And I think he can be a real clog out there for this Gopher defense, especially
sure.
with the amount of rotations that they do. Fans may be wondering, what are they going to see from Gary Moore this year? You know, so far through 5 days, it's been flashes here, you know, flashes there, but and now he's injured. So I think he's sitting fifth on the depth chart there behind you know, Richardson
and Ekpe.
Ekpe, Nandale,
right.
And Stelter. So
sure.
He's got a ways to go if he wants to crack into that rotation. Not saying he won't, because injuries always happen, as they already have here on the defensive line.
Right, and depth is the thing that they've been trying to build, especially on the defensive line the last, 2 years?
Yeah, which is, I mean, the Scott Ekpe injury so early on was devastating, and that's
right.
Why they had to burn the red shirt to a guy like Gary Moore, when he probably could have used a red shirt year. So
right.
Depth is a concern right now, especially since five guys are already injured at the defensive line.
Yeah.
But none of the injuries are said to be serious, so hopefully come Friday, Saturday, some of these guys are out there for the scrimmage.
Sure. Okay, let's talk linebackers. We've harped on Cody Pook in the middle, but let's talk about the outside guys. You know, we've talked about Jonathan Celestine, we've talked about Devondre Campbell, we've talked about Jack Lynn. Are we kind of seeing the same things, a lot of consistency that we've seen in the past, or has anybody really stood out, especially in this early part of camp?
For as good as this Gopher secondary is, I mean, with this, you know, how great this starting secondary is, and
mm-hmm.
three of the four will go to the NFL, I can make a very good argument and tell you that the linebacking core actually has more depth within its first two units than the secondary does.
Huh.
And I think I could get a lot of people to agree with me. I think, you know, especially the outside linebacker, you have Devondre Campbell and Jack Lynn.
Yeah.
Two guys who I believe are going to be starters come TCU, even though, you know, fans sometimes get a little bit upset with the way Devondre, you know, has lapses here and there, shows glimpses here and there. But he and Jack Lynn today, you know, we're giving some rest, as, you know, the staff knows what they can do. So after Campbell and Lynn,
mm-hmm.
I'm very excited about these next two guys, and especially with how young they are. Julian Huff, who, you know, I did a nice piece on today on Gopher Illustrated about how I think he's going to play a ton here as a true freshman, and Thumper, a.k.a. Jonathan Celestine.
Sure.
Julian Huff was probably one of the least heralded recruits of this 2015 class, as his brother Jacob Huff, who's a safety here, obviously they're twins, were, you know, more highly regarded. And Julian got to campus here in, you know, January. And he is just impressed, you know, Tracy Clays, Jerry Kill, and obviously myself from the moment he stepped on the practice field. He's 5'11", 220 pounds. And please do not let his size deceive you, because he's explosive. He's got great instincts, and he's very physical. He's so far ahead mentally in the game from where some of these linebackers are right now. They're even a couple of years older than him. Where if I had to make a list of true freshmen who I am, you know, putting on my top five freshman list that are going to play this fall, Julian Huff is the number one player on my list. He's done everything asked of him. I mean, he constantly draws praise and been very good so far. You know, he sees a lot of reps out there. He was actually a defensive end.
Sure.
He got around the edge on every rep. I mean, it was like Elmas Doomerville on my Twitter sphere here.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, his first step is very explosive. The Gophers do struggle.
Sure.
To get a pass rush.
Yeah, stand
yeah,
up.
Yeah, put him out there.
Yeah.
A Thumper. He's one of the hardest hitters on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Fans saw him, heralded recruit. His other offer, I believe, was like Alcorn State. Minnesota found him, and he is a true freshman in the Big Ten, and he plays well. He does great in space. He's not afraid to bring off blitzes, and there's depth there. I mean, if something happened, you know, to Jack Lynn, Everett Williams, there's three guys behind them at this position, and maybe do it a little bit better.
Yeah.
So it's fun to see, especially Stein as a true sophomore going to get a lot of tick as well. Nick Rallis, for fans wondering, I'm not 100% convinced he's 100% back from his ACL tear that
sure.
kept him out last year. There's times where it looks like he's favoring it a little bit. You know, maybe that's just my eye, and maybe I'm completely off base, but he's got some work to do to, you know, catch up to guys even like Julian Huff. So with, you know, Campbell, and Jack Lynn, they're going to be your two starters. They're going to be very solid starters. Mm-hmm. I expect them both to challenge for the tackle leads with Damian gone. But no, behind them, there's actually depth. And there are going to be two guys that are going to have huge roles on special teams in Celestine and Huff. So, as I said, I think there's a lot of depth at this linebacking position, especially on the outside.
Sure. Let's talk a little bit about that Mike linebacker spot. Everett Williams and then Cody Pook seem to be the two that are competing for that position. I know you're kind of on the record saying that you think is that how you still think it's going to play out?
I do. I do think Cody Pook happened until TCU.
Okay.
Cody, it's the same thing that, you know, the entire time the media and the public were there. But once, you know, the lights turned on, you know, for the Gophers,
mm-hmm.
with Cody, I just think that he's more explosive. I wish, you know, guys like Devondre Campbell would have. He's always reading and making the play within 2 yards of the line of scrimmage. And I can't tell you how many times, you know, today was the first day of full pads.
Yeah.
And, you know, the last tell a guy that you need to pull it back, then you need to ramp it up.
Yeah, it's really a good problem to have, right?
I'm very high on him. I think he wins the job. But I don't want fans to slight Evan last year. You know, he started for the Iowa game while the staff disciplined Damian a little bit. The sidelines, you know, he's not afraid to be physical as well. I just think it's sophomore. The other was a red shirt. I just think that he's, you know, just a better instinctual linebacker. Again, maybe I'm wrong. Here it is the starter come for TCU, but I'd like to see the headline of, you know, Cody TCU for Cody Pook. I don't know if fans remember that. It was a couple of years ago now, but, you know, I believe it was on a Tuesday or Wednesday that week, right before he was supposed to sign and said, and there was a 24-hour period where Cody was like, I think sophomore season, but, you know, Cody and Everett, they're probably the think is still the most up in the air on offense or defense right now. Behind them, Chris Whipson and Jalen Waters. I just don't know if Chris Whipson's ever going to, you know, see significant time as a linebacker. He's probably destined for a role as a very good special teams player, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
As special teams is very big for Minnesota, but
mm-hmm.
Jalen, he played a lot today, especially with Minnesota trying to get his, you know, some reps to other linebackers, but he's got instinct, you know, he's got the speed, you know, Kill has been on him as well as Sheryl's has for, you know, making sure to finish the drills and good play to the whistle and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Just things that freshmen, you know, have to go through here as they're adjusting to college football. So the future's bright.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely bright here between Julian Huff and Jalen Waters as true freshmen. Plus, if Carter Coughlin coming in, Kamal Martin coming in.
Right.
You know, Thomas Barber coming as well. So it's a good young linebacking core, especially Cody's. Again, Cody Polk's only a sophomore. Everett Williams is only a sophomore. Jonathan Celestine is a sophomore, and Julian Huff's a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
And all four will probably play a lot. So definitely not a bad thing for Mike Sherrills and company.
Right. Okay, let's talk secondary. This is obviously the position of strength, you know, maybe even getting some recognition nationally for the experience they're returning. And they've even gotten snubbed a little bit nationally too, right? They maybe haven't gotten the preseason award watch recognition that some might expect. So we know what we have on the outside at corner in Boddy Calhoun and Eric Murray. But what do we have behind them?
Well, before you start to snub the two best starting corners that as a tandem Minnesota has ever had.
Yeah, they're very good. We get it. I don't know. I'd like to hear about who we have behind them because I'm a little concerned as to the depth behind them.
All right, let me give them each about a 30-second spot, and then I will move on. But
okay.
Boddy and Murray, I mean, they look very good. I mean, Boddy's the playmaker. I think every day of camp he's had an interception. And Murray's the one that nobody even chooses to throw to. So, I mean, there's not much you can say about Murray. The passes that are thrown at him,
mm-hmm.
I think he's got about 6 passes deflected so far in camp. His length, his speed, that's why he's going to be in, you know, the highest Gopher draft in next year. body. He's the playmaker. He makes an interception every day at camp.
Mm-hmm.
He's the teacher on the sidelines for some of these young guys. So if these two stay healthy, man, it is going to be fun to watch secondaries in Minnesota. But as you said, behind them, there is some depth concerns to me. You do have guys like Craig James and Jalen Myrick. You know, Craig James is a guy that I haven't noticed a lot so far in 5 days. Maybe that's an oversight by my part. And if it is, I apologize to Craig. But, you know, he just hasn't been in on too many, you know, big plays or anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been out there a lot. And it's just he hasn't made too many plays. I don't know how else to say it. You know, Jalen Myrick's had, you know, an up and down, more up and down camp. He's got, obviously, he's the fastest guy on the team. He's a very physical. You know, he's made a couple of very good plays, and, you know, he's been burned on a couple of plays as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to see, especially since Jalen's not the starting nickel corner right now.
Mm-hmm.
That will go to, actually, Demaryius Travis. So Minnesota obviously plays nickel probably over half the time. And so what has happened so far is it'll be Body and Eric Murray on the outsides. Demaryius Travis slides down into the nickel.
Mm-hmm.
So he's basically a giant stand-up outside linebacker.
Right.
He's already 6'2",
yep.
210 pounds. But in the guy who is arguably Minnesota's most improved player, which I'll touch on with the safeties, is Kunle Ayinde, the walk-on from Blaine High School here in Minnesota. He has really improved himself in the last year. It started in the spring. It continued over into the summer. And it's showing on the practice field here this fall as he's gotten, you know, the starter reps over guys like Ace Rogers and Duke McGee. He's earned his reps. And so it's good to see. But, you know, Jalen and Craig haven't been spectacular, I would say. They've been solid. But it's still concerning to me as if Murray or Body, you know, who are both very dependable guys in terms of health, do go down. Well, obviously, that corner, whoever comes in, is going to be thrown at all the time because you have two NFL guys. And if one goes down, let's pick on the other one. So, you know, for true freshmen, I am excited about this defensive back class, and I don't want it to be understated. Keyonte Harden, Antonio Chanel, and Ray Buford have all, I mean, physically, they're there. I think Keyonte Harden, you know, the speedster from Webb City, Missouri, is probably the most far along and most advanced of the cornerback class. He's 5'10", 170 pounds. So some fans may be like, well, he needs to put on some weight. He's already put on 10 pounds. So he's going to have no trouble putting on another 15 by this time next year. And he's just, you know, the mental side of the game. It's so big being a corner as, you know, he's one-on-one with your, you know, receiver on the other side every time. He's very calm. He's very, you know, doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. And he has speed to burn, as I'd argue. He's probably top five fastest on the team, 100, 200-meter champion in Missouri last year. And the guy who's been helping out Keyonte a lot is Brian Body Calhoun. When, you know, the team is in the team period there and Keyonte is on with the third team, Body's standing right on the sidelines on his side of the field right next to him. And he's yelling out the calls, yelling out what he sees. Keyonte, tell me, yell to me what you see. What are you seeing? Where's he going?
Sure.
And then after the play, he, you know, he runs out there. Here's, you know, tell me what you saw. Why did you do what you did? Here's what I would have done.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done that, I think, consecutively for the last couple of practices here. Obviously, it's great to see, you know, Body Calhoun, you know, giving back to a guy like Keyonte Harden, who is a very similar player coming in. And it's, you know, Demaryius Travis has done the same with the safety. I've seen numerous occasions during one-on-one, Demaryius will go up to the young safety, a guy like Dior Johnson. Why'd you flip your hips there? Tell me what you saw. Why'd you do what you did?
Sure.
I mean, these older guys who have seen it all, you know, have played every game for the last two or three seasons, are trying to give back, and it's great to see.
Great.
Because sometimes you don't get that. But Keyonte looks fine. I think he's going to play absolutely, whether that is in the return game or as a cornerback. I think he'll get a little bit of time at both. You know, I would love to say that Ray Buford's the next one who's going to play, but, you know, Chanot and Ray have both looked okay. You know, Ray is 6'2", 190 pounds,
mm-hmm.
and he looks, in the words of Matt Langrofer, he looks like $1 million. So if I had to guess between the two of them, because Chanot has been getting a lot of, you know, loud encouragement from Savo,
mm-hmm.
since, you know, camp broke 5 days ago, I would say Ray is also going to play. He's improved a lot in the last 48 hours, especially in, you know, press man coverage during one-on-ones, as he has a tendency to not be as physical as he should, and then his speed isn't good enough to where he can catch up to the receiver. He's really improved on that. He's had a couple of passes deflected during one-on-ones with his length. He's learning how to do it. So depth is a concern, you know, if with Murray and Body, I'd argue it's one of the best corner tandems in the history of Gopher football. Behind them,
yeah, you just
I'm a little bit concerned.
Yeah, it's a little hard because there's just nothing's really proven outside of, you know, Jalen Myers played a little bit, but, you know, Craig James maybe even a little bit less, but for the most part, it's just you don't know what you have until you see them get
exactly.
some reps and game experience. So,
and that's the issue, is they're not going to see any game experience until next year when they actually need to get their feet wet, because you have guys like Body and
yeah,
Murray who
and Murray.
Need to be on the field all the time. So,
right.
If I had to guess, two out of the three corners play this year, and I would guess Keontae and Ray while Chanel redshirts.
Sure. Okay. All right, let's talk safety. You know, again, familiar names that have played, Antonio Johnson, Demaryius Travis. But then you've got, you know, like you were saying, Dior Johnson coming in as a freshman, you know, maybe a guy that is an impact player and maybe gets some playing time.
Yeah, Dior is literally a mini-me of Demaryius Travis when he came in, and I'd argue that Dior, by the time he leaves, could have a better career.
Sure.
The athletic ability Dior has is special, and then it's obviously why he was ranked so highly. He's just raw. There's no other word to really describe him. He's learning on the fly. It'll be Savell uses some loud encouragement on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to improve on this for your next rep. Okay, coach. He goes out and he does the next rep. So he's
sure.
a quick learner. And that's, you know, his physical ability is why I think he's going to play as a true freshman. Minnesota needs one more safety. You know, I believe 3 out of the 6 freshmen will play, and I think Dior is going to be the safety. The other one I should mention is Alonzo Creighton. When he signed with Minnesota in 2015, he signed as a corner, and he's been working exclusively at safety.
Okay, interesting.
The reason that is, after I talked to a source who's very knowledgeable of the situation, is when Zill arrived on campus, you know, he had a corner body, and by the end of the summer, he had a safety body, which means he put on, you know, 10, 12 pounds in such a short amount of time where he's growing into a safety, and they weren't really anticipating that as much. It's not a bad thing, as Zoe played safety all through high school, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Gophers actually, you know, they want him as either a safety or a corner. He just happened to work out at safety so far. He surprised me a little bit just because I thought he was going to be as raw as Dior, but I think he may be a little bit more farther along because of his coaching at Dutchtown High School down there. But I think a redshirt year for him would be very beneficial. And Ace Rogers, you know, the JUCO All-American who came in the spring, formerly an Iowa State guy, then he goes to Iowa Western, now at Minnesota. His role to me is still pretty undefined.
Okay.
As I thought he was going to, you know, be the guy like a Kunle Ayinde, where he was going to be the nickel safety or the nickel corner, and that just hasn't happened to be the case.
Sure.
I'm curious to what his role is going to be. Obviously, he's a backup. He'll be the second string safety. And I think he's going to, you know, push for playing time as a nickel safety or nickel corner. But for a guy who I was projecting to be a really instant impact guy, I just think his role is probably going to be felt more on special teams here in
okay.
his first season. Not a bad thing, as he'll come back for his senior season. and be a starter with maybe Kunle in there. But it's just Kunle, his development over the last 12 months has really, you know, thrown a wrench into Savell's plans. It's, you know, when he signed Ace, he was signing Ace to play the role that Kunle has. But the issue is Kunle's worked his tail off for 12 months, really, you know, studying the playbook, worked hard in the weight room, done everything he needs to. And he's, I mean, he's better than Ace right now.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing. It's obviously a beneficial thing because there's not many walk-ons that have the ability to contribute like he's going to. It's a good thing. I mean, especially a guy from Blaine High School here in the Metro. So behind Antonio and Demarius, you have three guys, I think, competing for playing time. You have Kunle. You have, Ace Rogers. And then you could have some. You can have Duke McGee, who's probably leading the team in interceptions so far in fall camp. He seems to just be in the right place at the right time.
Sure.
On some of these overthrows. And Dior, you know. So you have five or six safeties that can play. I'm not as so concerned about the depth of this position just because you do have a guy like Kunle. Yes, I understand he hasn't played, you know, in a significant game situation, but understand that he's an upperclassman and he should be ready to. You have a JUCO All-American waiting in the wings and Ace Rogers. Plus, you have a physical freak in Dior Johnson as well. Plus, Duke McGee. I mean, you have three, four guys who I feel comfortable enough with compared to corner, where it's a little bit more up in the air just because those guys haven't played. You have, as I said, Jalen, who's played the season as nickel corner, and that's basically it. And Craig, who played on, you know, two, three games and wash-up time as a true freshman last year. And then behind them, it's only true freshmen who haven't played. So,
right.
So I just want to reiterate the point, you know, there's a lot of talent here, especially with the starters, as that's why I've said this could be Minnesota's best starting secondary in terms of talent ever, just because of the three or four guys potentially could be NFL. And behind them at safety, there's depth with Kunle, Ace Rogers, Dior Johnson, Duke McGee. But at corner, it's a little concerning. I'm very much hoping that, you know, Body and Murray can stay healthy to put up one of the best seasons and go for secondary history. So as a defense as a whole, from top to bottom, from defensive end all the way back to safety, this should be Kills and Clay's, you know, most talented group. Now, whether they can stay healthy, is there's obviously, as I said, five injuries on the defensive line already is another question. And something, you know, you or I can't predict is that's football. You know, injuries happen.
Yep.
And that's why Kill has said for so many years here since he's been at Minnesota that we need to have the depth there, that if there is, you know, significant injuries like there was last season, you have someone like Steven Richardson ready to take his place and start 12 out of 13 games in the Big Ten in, you know, his true freshman season and perform admirably well. Obviously, he had six tackles for loss, and he really looked like a player out there. So top to bottom should be Gophers', you know, most talented group. But at certain positions, they need to stay healthy. Linebacker is deep. So it's been an exciting 5 days, and you know I've seen a lot of good things from defensive ends, from, you know, the linebackers, as the defense is ahead of the offense so far as it always is in fall camp.
Yeah.
So it's exciting, and I'm excited to see how they match up against the length and the speed of this TCU offense with two potential Heisman guys and the quarterback and the wide receiver there. It should be exciting. It should be a good matchup early on for guys like Murray, for guys like Cochran, for guys like Hank Ekpe. So it's exciting. I'm excited to see what they can do against an offense like TCU.
All right, so let's talk just real briefly to close out about the scrimmage Saturday. What are the details, and what can people expect out of a scrimmage like that so early in camp?
Yeah, so there's a scrimmage on Saturday at TCF Bank Stadium at 10:15, I believe. For fans who are planning on coming to the scrimmage, I would advise you to assume that the scrimmage is going to start at 9:50, 10 o'clock, because for any fans that went to the practices today or, last spring, you have to know that if it says on the time schedule that practice will begin at 10:25, I've been getting to practices at 9:40, and the guys have already been on the field for 20 minutes. So you, I mean, you just have to know that going ahead of time, get there early. I wouldn't expect the starting secondary to play. I wouldn't expect, you know, Devondre Campbell to play, Jack Lynn to play. But other than that, I think Mitch Leidner plays a lot. I think, you know, all the receivers, all the running backs, all the tight ends, you know, Cody Polk and Everett Williams will be battling it out to see who starts at Mike. And then you get to see a bunch of these freshman guys on, especially in the secondary. You get to see, you know, your first impression on them. You can listen to me, and I hope you, you know, trust my opinion and give it some kind of merit. But at the end of the day, you make your own opinions and you make your own judgments, and maybe I'm wrong, and that's okay. I'm okay with being wrong, as you know, everybody's wrong from time to time here, and hopefully I'm right more than wrong, as that's, you know, my job on the line. So, you know, for the scrimmage on Saturday, get there early. Don't expect, you know, the significant contributors on defense to play, but on offense, I expect everybody to play. And so it should be, you know, a very good tune-up, especially for these guys. It'll be the first time they've tackled in fall camp. There have been no tackling. Clay said after practice today, I believe, that the Gophers only, you know, tackle in fall camp only twice. And this will be one of the first times on Saturday. So get there early. This should be fun. It should be a good time.
All right. Well, we'll be able to recap that after after the scrimmage, and I'm sure we'll have lots more to talk about as camp continues. So it'll be something for people to look forward to as the podcast continues.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be, you know, it should be a very good scrimmage, and we can have more to recap, as you said, over the weekend. Just want to remind fans that, you know, these past 5 days, you know, GopherDigest.com has had a ton of content. I've got daily photos, daily videos, and a daily practice report, among an assortment of other things up there. So if any of what I've talked about over these last couple of podcasts interests you, I encourage you to go over to GopherDigest.com, see what, you know, see if the content interests you at all. And if it does, you know, shoot me a text on Twitter, shoot me an email, and we can talk about a potential subscription. But it's exciting. And so this Gopher football team should be doing well, and we'll see how they look after Saturday.
All right. We'll be looking forward to that.